8:12 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. The Supreme Court back in session. They're going to hear arguments, first arguments of the term this week, and we want to check in with Fox News Radio's Jared Halper and find out some of the big cases they're going to be looking at. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning. Yeah, one of the biggest cases that they're going to take on, a Second Amendment case, actually, is early in this term, starting tomorrow. One of the challenges that has reached the court is these regulations over the last couple of years, certainly during the Biden administration, that have targeted those so-called ghost guns, you know, these kind of firearm assembly kits. And the White House, the ATF, has changed regulations that kind of treat those as regular firearms that would fall under current existing federal law. That is being challenged, the argument being made that they are not should not be defined that way, given the way that that law is written. So the Supreme Court's actually going to take that up tomorrow in what is a pretty significant Second Amendment challenge when you consider the types of regulations here that the Supreme Court takes up.
Okay, so we got guns. What else is on the agenda there?
The death row is going to come up this week as well, the death penalty. This has been a case that has come to the Supreme Court a couple of times in various fashions. It involves a defendant out of Oklahoma named Richard Glossop. He was convicted for a 1997 murder for hire. He is arguing that he had his constitutional rights violated because prosecutors failed to disclose psychiatric treatment of a key witness, basically arguing that witness testimony ought not have been either allowed or certainly should have been questioned more in a way that it wasn't. So it kind of goes into that part of evidentiary law about what's allowed, what isn't allowed, what should be disclosed, what doesn't need to be disclosed, particularly when you're talking about the death penalty, when you're talking about the types of penalties that the Supreme Court says have such a high standard of burden for prosecutors. And then over the next few months, the Supreme Court's going to take a look at some environmental regulations, again, that have been put in place by the Biden administration. They are considering some of these state laws that concern gender-affirming care for minors, for children. And they are also taking up a First Amendment case out of Texas. The legislature in that state has put in place a law that requires an age verification system for websites with adult content. That is being challenged on First Amendment grounds. So we've got the death penalty, we've got the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, some of these environmental regulations, and then some of these new challenges that have come up over the last couple of years as states kind of grapple with the issue of transgender rights and gender-affirming care.
Is there anything going on with the Supreme Court that is anybody in ill health or anything behind the scenes that we should know about?
You know, that stuff's pretty close to the vest. Obviously, we know that some of the justices are getting up there in age. You know, we always kind of hear every year whether or not Clarence Thomas, who is now the longest serving justice, is prepared to retire. I think you may see some of those signals after the election. Sometimes justices kind of want to know who would be in charge of nominating their successor. So that's a name you hear. But again, a lot of these justices, they work their life for this. This is what they do. They really enjoy the work. It is important work. And so that's why it's not uncommon to sometimes see these justices work much later into their careers maybe than a lot of other folks do. So I would be looking, obviously, there. I would maybe see if you get any signals from some of the justices who have just maybe not that old but have been serving a long time, the Chief Justice, some of the others. But again, maybe that stuff flushes out. You start to see those signals maybe a little bit more after the election when it would become clear who the nominator would be for any of these justices' successors.
I would guess that the topic of term limits is something they won't take up for themselves.
There's nothing to take up. They wouldn't really be able to. That is not anything that has actually passed. It's not anything that's actually been written. So unless there were a challenge to something that has actually passed Congress, it would be unlikely for them to take it up. I'm not sure it could happen with just legislation. It might take a constitutional amendment that would kind of then set the issue aside for the Supreme Court. But I don't think you're going to see this term the justices have to take up anything that deals with themselves, given that there's nothing really legislatively for anybody to challenge at this point.
Yeah. Code of ethics, anything like that, do you think? Or...
Again, that's up to them. Congress has not passed the code of ethics
right,
for the Supreme Court.
Right. Yeah.
I think you've seen the chief sort of put out statements that, you know, they abide by a code of ethics. Perhaps you see that in a more transparent way, but that would be entirely at the discretion of the court. There's nothing for them to really challenge from a legislation standpoint, and it's unlikely that you see any of that legislation move through Congress, certainly before the election, and probably not afterwards, too, given the type of split we expect to see, that this closely divided Congress we expect to see after November.
Tell you what, talk about job security if you get on that court.
Not just that. I mean, any federal judge gets that lifetime appointment.
Oh, yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Not a bad gig if you can get it.
All right. Thanks for your time and your help this morning, Jared. Appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern. Steve at the end of the morning here on KNSS, 8:18 on this Monday morning. Yeah, you get a federal judgeship. You're in there forever. Nobody can tell you to go home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a look at sports this morning with Ted Woodward. Got a busy day planned, Ted.
Yeah, we got one of those nights that you don't see very often. The Chiefs and the Royals both play on the same night in huge situations. We'll start out with football. We got Monday Night Football tonight for the first place undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. Taking on the New Orleans Saints at Arrowhead Stadium as the Chiefs have won 10 games in a row, including the Super Bowl last year, off to a 4-0 start this season. Chiefs are a 5.5-point game going into this one tonight. Of course, we had our usual Friday morning visit with Mitch Holtis, the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, to preview this game back on Friday. And Mitch talks about the Chiefs, boy, dealing with some frontline guys that are injured just 4 weeks into the season.
Because you're looking at now no Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, Rashi Rice. So in essence, if you extrapolate it out, you're trying to replace 2,800 yards and 15 touchdowns. And sometimes you can just take on, you know, the hailstorm is so much, you've got to replace the roof. We're back at 2022 now of trying to invent every possible way, all hands on deck, to try to figure out how to replace those yards and touchdowns. That means everybody you can think of is going to have to be involved. Don't pick any of them on your fantasy team, but take all of them on your reality team. This is testing Andy Reid's ingenuity and his ability, his strongest attribute, and that is to handle flashpoints. He's done it every year. I talk about it publicly. I talked about it at the Wichita Rotary that day.
Yeah.
You guys were there. If people don't think about it, but he's amazing at troubleshooting and handling flashpoints, and he's got one now.
Big Monday night game tonight in Arrowhead, the Chiefs and the Saints. Mitch Holtis, play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, will have live coverage on the Chiefs Radio Network, pregame at 6 o'clock this evening. The game will kick off at 7:15 tonight for Monday Night Football, and that is on 98.7 FM KNSS. National Westwood One coverage of the game begins at 6:30 this evening, and that is on 1330 AM KNSS. Look at some other football action. Sunday Night Football last night. You heard the game on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. The Dallas Cowboys went on the road in Pittsburgh, beat the Steelers 20-17. The starting center for the Cowboys is Cooper Beebe, the rookie from Kansas State. He's already starting on the offensive line at center for the Cowboys. How about that in his rookie year? That offensive line only allowed a couple of sacks last night, 109 yards on the ground. Back-to-back wins for the Cowboys, who are undefeated on the road. They're 3-0 on road games this year. They haven't won at home yet. So the Cowboys get the win on the road. How about that? K-State's Cooper Beebe starting center for the Cowboys. All right, let's go over to Major League Baseball tonight. It is game two in the best-of-five playoff series between the Kansas City Royals and the top team in the league, the New York Yankees. They took a day off yesterday. The Yankees won a back-and-forth game one on Saturday night. Cole Ragans is the starting pitcher for the Royals tonight. The Royals and the Yankees, game two in Yankee Stadium. Live coverage at 6 o'clock this evening. First pitch in Yankee Stadium at 6:38 p.m. The Royals and the Yankees, listen live to that on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Yesterday, the National League was featured in playoff action in the major leagues. Game two in Los Angeles in Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers hosting the San Diego Padres. And the Padres got things going, down 1-0 in this series. And look who did some early damage. David Peralta from the Wichita Wingnuts.
Runner at third, two out, 2-1. Golf to right center field. Tommy Edmonds going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall, and it's gone. David Peralta seizing his chance. A two-run home run, and it's 3-0 Padres.
The Padres, we talk about how disciplined they are at the plate. They can hit breaking balls that are in the zone, and that one was in the zone. They have such a simple approach to go gap-to-gap. Line drives are their thing, and they believe in their process.
But that first career postseason home run for former Wichita Wingnuts outfielder David Peralta. Padres beat the Dodgers 10-2 last night in Dodger Stadium. That series is now tied at 1-1. That's best of five as well. And a happy birthday today to just an absolute legend. Former Kansas State head football coach Bill Snyder is 85 today.
Wow.
Pretty good when the stadium is named after you and your family, Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame and just an absolute icon in college football and right here in the state of Kansas. Former K-State coach Bill Snyder, happy birthday. He is 85 today. That's sports with Stephen Tidd.
7:23 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minutes. Sean says hurricane relief money has been squandered by Democrats. That's on the way with Stephen Tidd in the morning here on KNSS.